Welcome back to this season where we're talking about following Jesus, and we're trying to rediscover what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in Jesus' eyes. Mm-hmm. Last week, we talked about discipleship and where it's gone, and how important it is to keep that central to being a Christian is following Jesus, is being his disciple. And so this week, we're going to talk about how that actually happens, how we can get back to Jesus's ideal and intention when he asked us to follow him. We're going to look at the process of how Jesus formed disciples, how he implemented these rhythms and these relationships and all these principles in his teaching that made ordinary people into people who change the world.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Jesus was fully in line with his mission to bring salvation to the world. So if those disciples were with him physically and also spiritually, they were tied to him, then they understood the mission, they bought into the mission, they learned about it, and they learned to be more like him.
Mm. Yes, it's so relational. And that is where a lot of this starts, is our relationship, our time spent with Jesus, trying to get to know him better, understand him more, be more like him. That is foundational, mm-hmm. is relationship with Jesus. Discipleship doesn't come through a class, yeah. You know, or a seminar or a program. It's about walking with Jesus, mm-hmm. And doing that with other people. Because Jesus didn't just give us lectures. He gave us a lot of teaching, very important and foundational teaching to discipleship, but he lived a life with them.
Yes.
And he wants to live a life with us. Mm-hmm. So, we eat with Jesus, we travel with Jesus, we work with Jesus. And that's exactly what he was doing with his disciples. He loved eating with his disciples, traveling with his disciples, and working with his disciples.
Yeah.
So why would he not want to do that with disciples today?
Really, absolutely. And in that relationship, he challenges his disciples to do soul searching. Of course, anybody that listens to him is challenged, mm-hmm. To search himself or herself, and to really ask, what kind of person am I? What do I really need? How do I get there? And am I willing? The willingness is, I guess, one of the last barriers that we have as neo-disciples, people who are seeking discipleship, who really yield to it. And we love the Master. We agree with the Master. We seek to obey, and we give up ourselves. We say, how can I do this? Mm. I'm willing, I'm here, I will listen, I will learn, I will try my best. Mm. And that's an important step, I think. Mm-hmm. we do want to obey, we do want to get to heaven. We do want to be good, but are we willing to act and to follow, to learn how to act, to learn how to exude this truth, to share it.
Serve it, yeah.
Serve it, mm-hmm. serve others.
Mm-hmm.
serve him.
Yes. Yeah.
I might have jumped too far.
No, not at all. Not at all. It makes me think just about how obedience comes before understanding. We talked about this in our last season. That Abraham obeys before he fully understands. The apostles, they obey. They're even given authority before they fully comprehend mm-hmm. and understand. Also, this what you're saying makes me think of the rich young ruler, and we're going to talk about more barriers in a later episode. But I think willingness is a huge barrier for the rich young ruler, and misunderstanding grace is another huge barrier that I think this addresses. Because he is a pretty good guy, even though Jesus says nobody is good. Uh-huh. There is nobody good. So this rich young ruler goes up to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Which is the right question to ask Jesus. Mm-hmm. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God. You know the commandments: don't murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said, "Teacher, all these I've kept from my youth." He's one of the children in the he was one of the children in the previous section in Mark chapter 10. He's grown up trying to be good, trying to do good. But Jesus says, "You lack something. You lack something. Go and sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me." He was disheartened by the saying and went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Mm. And so here is Jesus giving someone the same instruction that he's given us. Follow me. Mm. Be my disciple. But the rich young ruler is disheartened and goes away sorrowful. It's like he's mourning. The loss of this discipleship because he had these great possessions that held him back. Mm-hmm. That held him back from following.
Yeah. It's like I've heard you say before, he was attached to the wealth. He had so many, almost all of the qualities of a disciple. He was wanting to be a disciple. He was wanting the truth. He was wanting Jesus. Mm-hmm. But he had an attachment that was greater and that overwhelmed his better judgment and his desire. It was just too much for him to give up because it took precedence over Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, it presents it like he has all these things. He has great possessions. He has wealth. He has property. But really, I think it leaves you questioning, like, does he really have those things, or do those things have him?
Right.
It's because that's the thing holding him back from following, from actually being a disciple of Jesus.
And, Jesus doesn't tell everybody this at all in the Bible. He doesn't say, go and give away your home and all of your possessions. But Jesus had to have known that this young man was attached very, very powerfully to materialism. Mm-hmm. And that was his Achilles heel. That was what was going to hold him back. Mm-hmm. Because your attachments like that, your worldly attachments, are actually going to influence your ability to follow. They're going to put conditions on it. They're going to modify your discipleship. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be good for you to be a disciple when your first love is, let's say, money or materialism or anything that is ungodly. Mm-hmm. So Jesus honed right in on his weakness.
He did. He did. And we have to allow him to do that for us too.
Yeah.
Like what has us, what is the barrier or the obstacle? What's impeding and getting in my way of following Jesus, of living out his call for our lives, his will for our lives as his disciples? And it's like, it's almost, it is counterintuitive, that this, the discipleship is a journey of obedience, and obedience, following him, giving up the things he's calling us to give up so that we follow him closer. He calls us to obey before we fully comprehend, but before we fully understand what he's asking us, or even like what we're giving up.
Yeah.
We don't, these things have us. We think it's going to be the death of a part of us, or this version of us that we are so attached to, that we love so much. And what Jesus is calling us to consider is like those who do that, those who break from these attachments just so they can follow Jesus closer, they receive 100-fold mm-hmm. now in this age and in the age to come.
He says that right out, mm-hmm. doesn't he?
He does. He does. It's worth it. Giving up this thing that you feel so attached to, this thing that has you, if you give it up, there is great reward and inheritance and blessing now and in the age to come.
Yeah, so I think a big part of discipleship, you talk about understanding. Absolutely. Understanding is key. And I think you obey and you start participating. And as you move along and you study and you learn from the Word, you learn from the Lord, you actually see yourself truthfully.
Mm.
And therefore, you know, it's hard. It may be hard, but you know who you are. You know what you have to give up in order to truly be his, belong to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people get discouraged, but others say, no, I'm making this commitment. And I see myself honestly, and I'm honest with myself as to who I am. And I yield myself to the Lord. And that is also a great feeling.
Mm.
Going through that is just inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like you just said, the sacrifice that we give up, we're yielding to something so much greater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not just the rich young ruler who goes through this. It's the disciples go through this as well, where they're given authority over unclean. This is the chapter before. This is chapter 9. They're given authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease, every sickness, and then they're unable. They have the authority.
Yeah.
They're called to obey, but they don't, like, clearly don't fully comprehend and fully understand the power that's been entrusted to them,
mm-hmm.
and how to channel this power of Jesus.
Yeah, somebody comes to them, and none of them can heal the young man.
I know. Yes, they're helpless.
Mm-hmm.
They're helpless. And Jesus tells them, like, this kind can only be driven out by prayer. So they clearly, they need more understanding.
Mm-hmm.
They need more comprehension. But Jesus still gives them incredible power and asks them to follow. And I think that's where we find ourselves today.
Mm-hmm.
As disciples, like, Jesus has given us incredible power by giving us his Holy Spirit.
Yeah. You know, he also kind of rebukes his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their unbelief. So by saying that they need prayer in order to take care of this illness. They're not committing themselves to prayer and to godliness and to learning and to yielding themselves. Mm-hmm. It's more like, we can't do this. Why can't we do this? Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah. Anyway, it's
and that is going to call into question like this idea of patience with discipleship.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that more. We're going to talk about that more. Just the need for patience while we're going through this training, because it's not instant. It is a gradual mm-hmm. growth process, yeah. Being a disciple. So, you know, just a silly, I'm going to share a silly way that I've found myself called to do something like the rich young ruler, and just kind of my experience from doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's silly. But I am a guy who loves exercise. Like when I went back to school, college, like what would get me excited? What would I want to learn about? Exercise science. You know, it's like, so, you know, I went to school for that. I worked in that realm for a while. And it's something that I've like, you know, just growing up as a kid, watching my dad work out. Like I wanted to do that. And so I've been doing that for a long time. I love exercise. Well, you know, somebody, one of my brothers, asked me to start working out with them, you know, a few days a week. And, like, my knee-jerk reaction, my honest, like, gut reaction was, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. I like exercising in the routine that I've grown accustomed to. I like this. I value my health and the image of myself so much. I don't want to sacrifice any of that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to follow Jesus that way. And over time, you know, like this was, you know, a year ago, I guess. But over time, like spending more time doing this, I found out not only did I not lose that person that I felt disheartened about detaching from, this person that I felt like sorrowful about, like this version of me was going to have to end to follow Jesus this way. Yeah. It didn't. Like it didn't end. I love more now working out with somebody else than I do on my own. And just like the relationship that I've gotten from being able to do that, I have received 100-fold now. Mm. Like 100 times better than what I thought I was so attached to.
Yeah.
To what had me. Like it had me. It was mm-hmm. controlling the way I responded to somebody who I, like looking back, I feel like it was a way Jesus was asking me to like give up part of myself. Mm-hmm. Just for the sake of being a good brother. And like, here's somebody's asked to share this interest with you. Like, where are you going to tell them no because you love yourself that much?
Yeah.
But a silly way that I do think has encouraged me to like, to double down on that. When I feel like Jesus is asking me to give up something that has me, that I have received and I will receive 100-fold in this age, and I can't imagine in the age to come, if we do this, if we put this into practice, what God has in store.
Yeah. You know, I don't see that as silly whatsoever, because you had developed a way of life with a portion of your life based on studies and experience and knowledge. And you were very content with your way of life. But someone came along and challenged you to interact and do things differently, but with a valued friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
with, I think, Jesus at the center of it. Like, put me in the center of this passion, of this love. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you holding this back?
Yeah. that's as valuable a lesson as anything. And I think part of our discipleship, that is a step toward godly discipleship. I believe we can look at things honestly and give them up, and we discover that it broadens our spiritual life. It can affect our lives, and our what we've learned from that can be applied to many things. So even the small things, we can begin with small things. Yours seems a little bit bigger than something small there with you know, your life is kind of dedicated to the study of this. But discipleship doesn't have to be a giant leap to begin with. You know, we can move into it and gain insight along the way.
And I do think that's the fault I see in the rich young ruler. Is he wouldn't commit to the process of like growing through this, or at least going to Jesus like in a with a helpless demeanor of like, I'm so attached to this. This is so hard. What you're asking me to give up, like, can you help me in some way? Like, you know, go through this process. And just not even beginning trying to give up these things we feel so attached to. And giving Jesus a chance by following him in the specific way he's calling us. Like, I don't know what it would be for you or for somebody else, you know, but...
it's like it immediately turned him off, turned him away. Like, I can't alter anything that has to do with materialism.
Yeah, that was his. That's what had him, and so that's the question: just what has us? What do we think is like is ours? But really, we're it. And for me, I think I had to learn that it was that to some degree. Yeah. And there's bigger things in my life, and I'm having to wrestle with these same questions. But I think it speaks to how intentionality is so important. You know, looking for ways we've structured our time and our focus, our attention, and like, are we giving opportunities to Jesus to rework those so that he's at the center of it? You know, it's interesting too that he calls out his disciples in pairs. he sends them out two by two. And I mean, I think that's, it speaks to what we need. Like, we need accountability. We need mutual encouragement. We need to share our experiences. This is how we disciple together. This isn't a solo effort, discipleship. It's always done in community. Even when he sends them out with a fellow disciple. It works through intentional relationships, shared experiences, having somebody to kind of like do this with, you know, like, I feel like you're such a mentor to me, get me to think through these things. Somebody hold us accountable and keep us focused on following Jesus.
You've been such a help to me. It's amazing that when we do work together with someone, it's, with the same goal, the same purpose. It's such an encouragement to each side. It's almost like the combination of the two is greater than the two individuals alone, you know.
That's probably why multiplication is so foundational also to this. The Great Commission, go make disciples. That's what he tells his disciples. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to obey. Before you understand and comprehend, start obeying all that he's commanded us. And I'm with you always, to the end of the age. So good.
Such a promise.
Yes. It's about raising followers who follow Jesus and teach others what that looks like and the value of it. And it takes patience. It does. It requires time and patience. But I think seeing discipleship through our daily life, you know, like whatever it is, like whatever you could kind of, you know, do this with, fishing, walking, going to eat together, just like finding ways to be intentionally including this teaching like into your daily life, integrate it into your daily routine, embed this in your life. The rhythm of discipleship, it is presence, observation, practice, reflection, and all this requires time and patience. Jesus didn't give his disciples, you know, a 12-week boot camp. That's not what it was. It was years of growing and developing. I mean, so much time and patience. He invests all of this time into each one of us. When we're not perfect, when we're arguing, when we're misunderstanding, when we're failing, Jesus sticks with them. He sticks with us. Yeah. We just have to practice. Mm-hmm. We can't go away sorrowful and disheartened because we're not willing to practice. Yeah. You know, it's not, this isn't instant. It's a process of forming habits and character and spiritual maturity over time.
Yeah, practice is so necessary. Staying with it. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. But, you know, doing this together gives a lot of encouragement. Mm-hmm. That we need the support from others.
It helps us be consistent.
Yeah.
And that is so important to practice. You know, practice isn't about perfection. It's about consistency. Like, will you just practice?
Yes.
Will you just get better? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the failure of the rich young man. It's like, I'm not going to practice.
Yeah.
I don't want to do rep number one. Mm-hmm. And so he goes away sorrowful and disheartened.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I remember playing baseball in high school, and I had to commit to it, and then I had to put in the work, a lot of physical activity, getting in shape, being in top form, learning how to swing a bat, field the ball, and mentally what to do when you get a hold of a baseball, you know, what's going on? How many outs are there? Really on top and focused. It took dedication, and I was willing to do that. Mm-hmm. This is no different really. There's no difference in this.
To practice.
It's for our great Lord.
Yeah. Practicing the way of Jesus. That's what this whole season's about. Mm-hmm. And so next week we're going to talk about how this happens. What's the goal at the end of this discipleship? What are we aiming for? What's the goal? What's the goal? What does the practice get me to? Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that next week.
That's great.